welcome to Strong Tower Radio Special. I'm Tom Azure, your host, and this little mini-series, I'm calling it the Conway mini-series. We've talked in the first session about addiction, we talked about grieving, and we're talking about marriage. And those three items seem to be different, but there is some overlap or some connection there. So we have Pastor Steve Conway and Tammy. Some people know them for 3ABN, a worldwide Christian network. They have a television program, When We Talk. It's so popular that we pick it up here on Strong Tower Radio and play it twice a week. They also have a teaching ministry called
Stamina.
I remembered it 2 out of 3 times. And also Pastor Steve is an active pastor in a congregation. We play his sermons on our program called Fresh Manna and in rotation with other pastors. But we also appreciate Tammy for all the things. She's a great helpmate. And when Tammy comes into the room, everybody feels loved. And they usually get a hug. And I think it's not only the hug, Tammy. I think it's the exuberance that you give that hug. And the voice goes high, and she's so excited. But thank you for being a part of the Lord's work, and thank you for being a part of our program today.
Thank you for allowing us to be here, and hugs heal. I believe hugs can heal.
All right. Amen. Well, Pastor Steve, lead us in a word.
Okay. Loving Father our God, we thank you for your goodness towards us. We thank you for the opportunity that we have to sit down with Brother Tom today and talk about something that is extremely important, not only to us, but to you. Mm. So we ask that you would give us grace as we talk, because when we talk, we heal. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, we were talking about grieving, and one of the things that in setting up this interview, the discussions we had, we talked about the stages of life.
Yeah.
And let me ask you this question. How many stages are there? It seems like there's been many so far, and I still have a few to go.
Definitely. I would not even attempt to say how many numbers of them, but for sure, I think we can at least kind of differentiate. We have adolescence, right? We have when we were
childhood,
children, right? And then coming from out of childhood into teen, you know, stage.
Then you can have subdivisions in those.
Yeah. That Lord knows.
Every year.
Lord
every
knows.
Month.
Oh, my goodness.
Every time I see my granddaughter, she's gone through a stage.
The hair is changing. This is changing. Like, it's a lot. And then coming from teenage into maybe young adulthood, right? That is definitely a stage for sure. And even there can be, you know, a lot of different trajectories. And of course, as you get
hopefully
older,
you've developed a life purpose or career, whatever it be. It could be a vocation, whatever, but a purpose in life that provides for your own livelihood and others.
Yeah, a calling, you know, what it is that God has for you to do here, you know. And then from there, if it's God's will, right, he may bring you into community with companionship and, you know, have that life. And if it be his will, you know, maybe parenthood may follow. And then, you know, you're living and going through, you know, those different stages. But again, there's also stages there. Maybe you're working and you're in a profession, you know, but there comes a point when there may be.
Someone could be in that same career and the company lets you go for some reason or the economy turns bad. And then there's economic uncertainty and change of relationships. You may be home when you're used to being at work. And there's so many degrees of so many things.
And with all of that, and then you go through these next areas and stages of life where, let's say you're entering into, I'm slowing down a little bit, right? Or maybe I'm taking less hours at work. Maybe I'm looking towards retirement, you know? I'm dabbling in maybe a change of career, you know, different things of that nature. And maybe the children are no longer in need of your intimate care, you know.
The emptiness.
the infamous empty nester, right? And so you have those things. So there are so many different stages, right? Caregiving is a stage, you know?
And then decline of your personal health.
Yes, yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
I mean, you used to be able to do this and you have to do this because you're...
Yeah. Or I'm needing to ask for help now, you know? That's a stage, you know, where I was used to doing it on my own. Now, who were we talking yesterday with someone who went and had to, and you probably know all too well about this, Brother Tom, he expressed to us yesterday, he said it was one of the most difficult things for him that he had to help dress his father. And he
first
said
time
that
to
was...
take your dad to the bathroom,
yes.
and then clean up afterwards,
yes.
And,
yes.
And all that other stuff. Yeah.
And he said he felt distinctively the switch. He was like, I immediately felt my father's vulnerability. Whereas when I was a child, he would grab me and pick me up. I'm picking up my father, you know? So there are stages. There's definitely stages. And it can be, you know, a challenge, to say the least. But also it can be beautiful, you know, in these different stages.
You know, if you stay in the stage too long, if you go in too early, it's not good. And if you exit too late, there's a time for each one, and you need to know, and you're happy when you're in the right state.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We try to encourage people to enjoy. Enjoy the time. Don't spend your time thinking about what the next stage is or what the last stage, what no, enjoy. And I'm sure you tell your children, because you're a lovely granddaughter, here they grow fast.
Yeah.
But as a parent, you're like, I don't see they grow fast.
I'm tired. I want them to grow.
But when they get out of the diapers, when they be potty trained,
when are they going to do this? When are they going to do that? But in the journal,
somebody told me something just recently, said you have 16 summers with your children.
Yeah.
And boy, oh boy.
That's amazing when you think about it like that.
It's not even 18, it's 16.
Wow. So really, you know, enjoying the season or the stage of life that we're in and getting the most out of it, not just for the sake of
I love that. Most. I love it. You said getting the most out of it.
Yeah.
Because it has something there. Everything that God wants to happen. I've noticed, whether it be having children, he makes it enjoyable in its right way.
Yes.
And eating done in the right way is a wonderful thing. And everything done in the right way.
Mm-hmm.
And so enjoy that.
Yeah, it's beautiful. And I think God is so wise that nothing is wasted.
Yeah.
And so when we say get the most out of it, because when we get the most out of this particular stage, God uses the things that we learn and experience to prepare us for the next stage. And we can always find that we are better suited for the next stage when we have gotten the most out of the previous stage.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So nothing is wasted with God, everything in his time.
You know what we found out recently? Analogy. That, you know, lemons, we'd have lemon in the morning, but we found out that we've been throwing away the peels all the time. And the peels has a certain healthy thing, quercetin, comes from that. And if you put it with your blueberries, it makes a wonderful, vivacious drink that we used to throw away.
Mercy.
So you need to get everything out of every stage.
Yes.
You know, that's an interesting thing, Brother Tom, because we're talking about marriage, right? And we've noticed over some time, we haven't lived that long, right? This year, we'll be married for 25 years, which is nothing but
congratulations.
God is zeal.
But we're working on gold.
Hey!
Just 3 years.
Amen. And we've watched over the years, probably in our own circles, you know, divorce is impactful in any community.
Oh, it's devastating for those involved and everybody close by.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
The society as a whole, because it changes the economy.
Yeah, yeah.
The yarn is productive.
Yeah, yeah. And so it has been something that has been powerful for us to watch, whether it's in the church, right? Unfortunately, We've seen divorces that happen in that space. We've seen divorces happen in communities outside the church. But we've always said to ourselves that, you know, the center is the family. And the family is the thing that spills out into the community. It's the thing that spills out into the city and the country and the world. And so we know that Satan hates family and he hates marriages.
Because, and it's been said before, that only humans can procreate. Angels can't procreate. Yes, and he hates God and he hates the family.
Yeah. And we're the direct image of him, right? We've been told that marriage is that thing. It is that relationship that he's put on this planet, that when Satan sees it, we are a direct reflection, right, of the Godhead. And it is such a beautiful thing. And so, and no wonder he seeks to attack it, you know, so much. Yeah.
One of the things we found is that by the time we often hear from couples in crisis situations,
changes that happen and don't know how to process change.
But what we've discovered is that the crisis situation, it's not actually any change or circumstance that has happened right here. The crisis is actually the cumulative effect of not intentionally building up the marriage. And so what many people look at as a crisis is really all of these undealt with,
unprocessed
challenges that were faced, and you never had resolution, there was never healing, there was never any closure. And as a result, at this point in the marriage, there's a crisis situation. And it's painful for us too, because when people come to you in crisis, the chances, now God is able, God is able, he's able to deliver, he's able to transform, he's able to change. But it becomes even more challenging or complicated, let me use that word.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason is because now there's a mountain of all these memories and hurts. And you want to sit down with someone and you can't fix that in a 1 hour session.
Yeah.
Right? Because there's 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, or 40 years of things that need to be dealt with. So we like to talk about this. We talk about this with addiction. We talk about it with grief, and we talk about it with marriage.
And hence the series, and that's what ties these together, which seems so unrelated.
Yes, but they're all wrapped up together, that there are layers. There are layers. There are layers to our relationships, to our marriage, to an addiction. Often, the addiction is the thing that's at the top. That's what everyone sees in the family or in the community.
You want to peg it on something.
Yes, yes.
But that's not the root cause.
That may be the top layer, but your lemon thing, you got to peel that. And there's something else underneath it and something else underneath that. In marriage, that is often the case. So a couple will come because of a particular situation or crisis, but once you get beyond that, you get to understand that there are layers that go. So we are big proponents. In fact, when we do pre-marriage coaching, we encourage couples that, you know, and you and your wife do a great job. You know, that invest. You take some time to try to invest in your marriage yearly, sometimes more than once. And that is, it's, you can't drive a car without ever doing maintenance.
Right.
That's a part of keeping things fresh and alive and healthy. And when couples don't do that, then the cumulative effect of that is often a crisis that too many couples can't recover from.
Literally, my thought is to do the maintenance even if you don't think you need it.
Amen.
Because you really do.
You really do. You really do.
Absolutely.
But this is pretty serious, and the statistics are pretty strong, and we don't need to linger there very long before we go to solutions. But give us the state of marriage.
Yeah. So first, you know, one of the things that we could be encouraged by, right, is within the years, we've seen what we would say is a decline, right, in divorce. I would like to believe that is because people have more of a respect for it, and there's more help, and there's different things of that nature, which that may be true in some areas. But one of the reasons why the decline also is there is because there are, unfortunately, people who just aren't getting married, right? So that's always a part of...
Fewer marriages, fewer divorces.
Yes, fewer marriages, there is no need for a divorce, right? But statewide, what it says here...
But not getting married is not healthy.
Exactly.
Not in any way.
Exactly.
Not wrong.
Yeah, exactly. And so we want to stress and make sure that people understand, don't be fooled by the statistics, right? You may think, oh, divorce, everything, everybody's great. Like, no, people still need help. People still need to strive for hope. My husband is really good with these statistics. I'm going to let him share.
This is statewide in Michigan, 4.1 per 1,000 people experience divorce. Between the years of 2023 and 2025, the data suggests 20,491 divorces that were reported.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of, and as we were talking offline, you know, we're like, oh man, 20,000, that's not, you know, we got a couple of million people. But when we think that a divorce doesn't just affect the two people, it affects their...
It affects every child, whether the child is in the house or if they're totally independent. It affects the whole family. The family dynamics is never the same again.
Absolutely.
But it's not only the nuclear family, the extended family.
Yes.
It is the neighbors next door.
Yes.
Is who do you relate to, and, mm-hmm. and all that other stuff. And then go to church.
Oh.
Yeah.
And worship together, and you talk about reconciliation in the front, and they're glaring at each other from the opposite side of the church.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's real.
Yeah.
That's real. And I like the fact that, because, and the rhetoric nowadays, and a lot of what's said is, I need to be happy. But that, you know, it flies in the face of the reality that a divorce doesn't just affect you. And by the way, the marriage doesn't just affect you either.
Very much.
And that's why we love looking at different cultures from around the world and seeing the involvement of more of the family in the marriage.
Community,
that's,
yeah.
That's a wonderful thing. That's from the East. That's biblical and so forth. But there's also another group that, and this one is quite shocking, it's referred to as gray divorce. Divorces among adults age 50 and older have increased, with this demographic now representing 1 in 4 divorcing couples in Michigan.
25%. And the interesting thing is they made it that long, and then they just throw it on the heap, and it's not just walk away and everybody's happy. You have so much invested in. And the first time I even heard this was a few decades ago. It just blew my mind. It's like, not them.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's the thing.
Yeah.
Because we've been there too. We're like, is that?
No.
No, it couldn't be.
Yeah.
And we started trying to process why. And we don't know what all the reasons are. But this goes back to the grieving. A lot of the couples, what has held them together
mm-hmm.
is the focus on children. Now the children are adults and may have their own children. And
they let it hang out.
Yeah, yeah. And now they have to work on something that they didn't really have to work on because they were both focused on children.
Or they never spent that time together because they were doing parallel activities mm-hmm. in the same space.
Yep.
But now that they have to face each other.
And we saw a concentrated portion of this during the pandemic, right? The
pandemic
brought this to the surface, which is in a very busy environment, hectic environment, right? Where people are waking up in the morning and separating for some, a great portion of the day. The parents from the children, the parents from each other, going to their jobs, right? They have created a routine for themselves that they don't really have to have conversations. They don't really have to talk to one another or process through things. They have created this insulated experience where, oh, I'm going to the store. I'll get home from work, but then I got to go shopping, or I got to take Bobby to, you know, soccer practice, and I got choir practice at church. And there's all of these activities that take the place of authentic connection and relationship. And also, we are not recognizing that we're changing, right? And so because I'm not recognizing when you come home and you walk through the door that, wait a minute, something's going on. No, we don't have time to stop and look at that.
No, you just said something. You said we're changing.
Yeah.
Because I've often
heard, you're talking about a society or you're talking about the nuclear couple?
Yeah.
Even the couple.
The couple.
Because think about it. You know, how many times has one spouse said to the other, you've changed?
Yeah.
But they say it as though you weren't supposed to change.
Okay.
But the reality is, to your point, that we are changing.
Yeah.
We are growing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we are having different and new perspectives on things. We are learning.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about this. We were in different stages in life. And
right
now the stage has changed and the complications, the challenges are different. And we're having to apply things that we didn't have to before. So, yes, it's very true that we are changing. So marriage is not, we're not getting married because we're promising one another that we will not change.
Yeah.
Now, our commitment is what's going to be lasting.
Yeah.
And even I remember I asked my children, I said, do you think that we were looking at wedding pictures. And I said, do you think that I loved your mother more on that day than I do now? And whenever we talk about weddings, it's like there's so much, you know, joy and we got all the pictures and we hold on to them. But the truth of the matter is, I told my children this afterwards because they were like, I don't know, but you look pretty happy there.
It sounds like a trick question. Where are you going, Dad?
I said, listen, I love your mother more now than I did then. So my love has changed in the sense that it has grown. I have a deeper appreciation and a deeper love for her now than I did then. And so we are going to change. We're talking about hopefully in good ways.
Yeah.
But there's also other ways that people can change, you know, and we've talked about addiction already. We've talked about loss. We've talked about grief. Things that come into the life that are unexpected.
Or shake us up. Things we didn't expect to happen, you know. And I think I shared this with you earlier. It hit me when I was talking to my father-in-law, my father has, you know, been retired. He was a long-haul truck driver. His father as well is a truck driver. And he is nearing where my father has already been. And I remember him talking to me saying, you know, I'm going to have to retire soon. And I've seen a lot of my fellow coworkers in the same business who, when they came off the road, is that what's called, coming off the road, that their families, their marriages end up falling apart. And one of the things that the wives would say is like, I'm not used to seeing it. You're gone for weeks at a time or days at a time. I'm used to being here. I've created this life without you. I think a lot of...
How do you fit back in?
How do you figure out
how to... back
fit
in.
Yeah. So that hence that gray divorce. I think the grayness is we don't really know, right, who we are now. We've been apart for so long. We've been living in the same home, but yet we've been dealing with things kind of separately, you know? And so because no
which
one ever...
Which you should have been dealing with.
Yeah.
That's why we decided to name the program When We Talk.
Yeah.
Because really and truly... talking. And when I say talk, oh, I talked to them. I said, good morning. No. Yes. Continue to say good morning. Continue to ask how the weather is. And
that's a way to start.
But the deepest levels of talking and communicating really have to do with, and we talk about the changing, the deepest levels of communication have to deal with that process. As my wife recognizes, hey, my body doesn't feel the way it used to. Right. And I don't know what's going on. And I'm like, really? Well, you know, what is that? Tell me what that's like.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how do you feel? And as I'm experiencing changes, and I'll say, man, I don't know if it's God's will for me to do this or it's God's will for me to do that. As we keep the lines of communication open, then we continue to learn more about one another, have a deeper appreciation for each other. The different
seasons.
In our lives. So it's like, this is who we were when we were at this stage in our lives. But now that we're in this stage, we have a whole new set of experiences, and we have to continue talking with one another about the complexities of these experiences. And we don't always have answers because it's new. We've never been here before, never lived through this.
Yeah.
But the blessing is we have the privilege and opportunity to be able to navigate through that together.
Yeah. Wow.
And we're going to do something weird. We're going to take a whole month off this year.
Ooh. Very nice. So excited. Very nice.
So, but it's interesting. We're used to only doing 3 weeks and such.
Man, we have a dream because we talk about this all the time. You know, people are familiar with wellness centers. You know, people will go and do 18-day programs at wellness centers. Oftentimes, you know, there are people who will do it periodically just as a maintenance, right? There are some people who go when they're in crisis, cancer or some disease is taking over their body. And their hope is that they will go and they will get treatments, right, that can help them. And we are, you know, big proponents of wellness centers. Our dream is to have a wellness center for relationships where when people are going through these seasons, where can you go where there's no shame or no guilt? Like, we need help, right? Whether you're in crisis or whether you just got married or, you know, you've been married for 25 years, 50 years, or we had a loss, we lost a child, we're going through these things, right? Or we've just dealt with addiction. How do we deal with this? Where do people go when their relationships need help? And our dream is to have a place where people can come. And just
sounds like your retirement.
Maybe, right? Nothing.
Maybe, but I appreciate what you said. You talked about, Brother Tom, you said, even if you don't think you need it.
Yes.
Because in fact, you do need it. And I think that is, we talked about divorce and whatnot. One of the ways that we can insulate our marriages, as it were, from crisis mode and from divorce is by investing intentionally in our marriages. Because the other person is there, they have a pulse,
yes,
you know, and they got up this morning and whatnot. It doesn't mean that you can't grow in your relationship. And I've heard some guys say, you know, oh, I've been married for X number of years and, you know, this is how we do it. And it's been working for me. And my first thought is, well, how is it working for your mom?
She may be putting up with you. Todd, it may not be working as well as she would like it to work. Mm-hmm. But you think everything is going great. But again, if the communication between you is not such that there's an opportunity to explore, you know, how do you feel? And what do you think about this and whatnot?
And we serve a God that is so amazing that he created us as such that change is always possible, right?
Good change.
Good change. Mm-hmm. A change is inevitable, right?
Yep.
No matter what stages you're in, can be positive or negative, but there is a certain type of change where God says, you know what? I don't care how long you've been married. There is a positive change that I can grant you to have in your relationship.
Mm-hmm.
That until, you know, until Jesus comes or death do us part, right? That we can still continue to keep growing that love.
Boy, I want to do some change, positive change after this talk. And I think our listeners do too. This is the concluding of a mini-series with the Conways. And this is Strong Tower Radio Network. And for this new program, this mini-series, God bless, and let's come together and let's talk. Bye now.